السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربكم أعلم بما في نفوسكم إن تكونوا صالحين فإنه كان للأوابين غفورا. وآت ذا القربى حقه والمسكين وابن السبيل ولا تبذر تبذيرا. وقال تعالى: ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه إحسانا حملته أمه كرها ووضعته كرها وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة قال رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. أولئك الذين نتقبل عنهم أحسن ما عملوا ونتجاوز عن سيئاتهم في أصحاب الجنة وعد الصدق الذي كانوا يوعدون. والذي قال لوالديه أف لكما أتعدانني أن أخرج وقد خلت القرون من قبلي وهما يستغيثان الله ويلك آمن إن وعد الله حق فيقول ما هذا إلا أساطير الأولين. أولئك الذين حق عليهم القول في أمم قد خلت من قبلهم من الجن والإنس إنهم كانوا خاسرين. وسئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أي الأعمال أحب إلى الله؟ قال: الصلاة على وقتها. قيل: ثم أي؟ قال: بر الوالدين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه ويمسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الجنة تحت أقدام الأمهات. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رضا الرب في رضا الوالد وسخط الرب في سخط الوالد. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الوالد أوسط أبواب الجنة فإن شئت فاضع ذلك الباب أو احفظه. وعن معاذ رضي الله عنه قال: أوصاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 كلمات: لا تشرك بالله شيئا وإن قتلت أو حرقت، ولا تعقن والديك وإن أمراك أن تخرج من أهلك ومالك، ولا تتركن صلاة مكتوبة متعمدا، فإن من ترك صلاة مكتوبة متعمدا فقد بريت منه الذمة، ولا تشربن الخمر فإنها رأس كل فاحشة، وإياك والمعصية فإن بالمعصية حل سخط الله، إلى آخر الحديث. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الكبائر الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين المسلمين وشهادة الزور. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: كل الذنوب يغفر الله منها ما يشاء إلا عقوق الوالدين، فإنه يعجل لصاحبه في الحياة قبل الممات، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ما قال ربنا وخالقنا ورازقنا من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سلام على خير الأنام وسيدي حبيب إله العالمين محمدي بشير نذير هاشمي مكرم عطوف رؤوف من يسمى بأحمدي بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجا بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم نبينا الآمر الناهي فلا أحد أبر في قول لا منه ولا نعم فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم دع ما ادعته النصارى في نبيهم واحكم بما شئت فيه مدحا واحتكم فإن فضل رسول الله ليس له حد فيعرب عنه ناطق بفم ہادی عالم خیر مجسم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم رہبر عقبہ رہبر عالم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جن کی حدیثیں نور کا منبع جہاں سے نور پھوٹتا ہے جن کی حدیثیں نور کا منبع جن کی نظر میں طور کا جلوہ معراج پہ پہنچتے ہیں طور کی تجلی وہاں ملتی ہے جن کی حدیثیں نور کا منبع جن کی نظر میں طور کا جلوہ صبحۂ حق کا رشتہ محکم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ان کے قدم کی دھول جو پالے ان کے قدم کی دھول جو پالے خوف کہاں پھر اس کو ستائے خوف کہاں پھر اس کو ستائے ذکر سے ان کے مٹتے ہیں سب غم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم درود شریف پڑھ کے دیکھو ذکر سے ان کے مٹتے ہیں سب غم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم گو کہ جلال عالم میں سبھی ہیں آقا و مولا اپنے وہی ہیں گو کہ جلال عالم میں سبھی ہیں آقا و مولا اپنے وہی ہیں ان سے ہے جہاں کو نسبت دائم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کنٹینیوس کنیکشن دل کو کنیکشن ہے ان سے ہے جہاں کو نسبت دائم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم میں سناؤں نعت احمد یہ زبا بیان نہیں ہے کوئی چیز میرے جذبوں کی بھی ترجمہ نہیں ہے ارے بے خبر طبیبو تمہیں یہ خبر نہیں ہے غم یار کے علاوہ کوئی غم نہا نہیں ہے میرے درد کی دوائیں نہ کہیں کہیں تلاش ہو مجھے لے چلو مدینہ یہ دوا یہاں نہیں ہے یہ ہے اور بات لوگوں میں یہاں پڑا ہوا ہوں میرا سینہ چھو کے دیکھو میرا دل یہاں نہیں ہے میرے آقا کملی والے در پاک پر بلا لیں تیرا محسن حزین اب یہاں شادماں نہیں ہے ریسپیکٹڈ ایلڈرز برادرز فرینڈز فرسٹ آف آل وی تھینک اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ فار گیونگ اس توفیق ٹو کم ٹو دا مسجد پرفارم آور عصر مغرب صلاح وتھ جماعت الحمدللہ سے الحمدللہ یہ سعادت بزور بازو نے ستان بخشت خدا بخشندہ Allah called us over here. Allah invited us. Allah likes you. Allah wants you to come in His house. Allah wants you to sit in this gathering and listen to the words about His beautiful deen and religion. May Allah give us a tawfiq to understand and to put into practice. Respected elders, brothers, friends, today's topic is showing respect to the parents. Now you might ask, why did Maulana Sahab choose this topic? Well, we've just had Father's Day, and last week we had Mother's Day. So why not talk about our father and mother? What happens on Mother's Day? That young lad who's been messing around and who's not seen his parents for the past 12 months suddenly turns up from nowhere with a box of chocolates and a few flowers, and mom, dad, this is for you. Make a little bit of breakfast for them, clean the house. And the aim behind that is He needs a new car, so needs a bit of cash, some check. Dad, I need a new car. Mom, I need a new car. Please help me. And that's what happened. Even in that khidmat and service and that box of chocolate, there is no sincerity. There is something behind it. That's what the society has become today. As one writer writes, that day by day, the European father has lost his authority over the son. And the son has lost all his respect for the father. Why and how did this respect and this authority disappear suddenly? Simpsons. Look at Bart Simpson. Our children watch that cartoon, and then Bart Simpson is always swearing at his dad. You stupid fool, you don't know. You telling me to do my homework, I'll do it myself. You can't help me, I'll do it myself. Now when a child sees that, is he not going to react in the same manner? Of course. So the society has been shaped in this way. It's been made this way. That's how our children are now behaving today. We have to address that. There is that flood, and everybody is being dragged away with that flood, and we need to make a stand. We need to do something. Educate our young ones. Tell them what is the right of the parents. How much we owe them. We have to educate them with the verses of Quran, with the verses of ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much important Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pay to the parents. How much they have instructed us to respect and to honor and to dignify, look after, take care of our parents. How our elders used to take care of their parents. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya, he used to take care of his elderly mother. He would wash her head, hair for her. He would put henna and mehndi on her head. And at feeding time, he would bring the food and feed her with his own hands, give her water with his own hands. Any khidmat, he's always there for her. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was extremely dutiful to his mother. Whenever he would go out, he would address his mother. Dear mother, I am going out. Will you give me permission? And she would say yes. And then he would say, mother, may Allah reward you in the manner which you looked after me and you did my tarbiyat and you gave me a real nice good upbringing. Allah has told us to make this dua, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Dear mother, you looked after me so nicely. May Allah reward you for that. And she would say, dear son, and may Allah reward you for the way you are looking after me in my old age. And then he would depart from the house. When he would return, he would do the same. When Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came to Medina Munawwara with his mother, he brought his mother with him. And his mother had not yet embraced Islam. Abu Huraira had become a Muslim, but his mother had not yet embraced Islam. And Abu Huraira was very eager for his mother to embrace Islam, to become Muslim, but he was gentle, he was soft with her. One day, he was with her and she said something which really hurt Abu Huraira. So, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for my mother, that Allah give her hidayat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hand and he said, Allahumma hdi umma Abi Huraira. Allah give hidayah to the mother of Abu Huraira. And he says, as soon as I heard these words, I was really overjoyed. And I was really happy. I can't explain by this simple dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how happy I was. I returned and what do I see? The door is locked and I hear the sound of water and as though someone is having shower. When I knocked, my mother said, wait a minute. She washed her body, finished her ghusl, and quickly put on her clothes. And in the rush, she forgot to cover her hair with the ordinary. And she had covered herself except for the hair. And she rushed open the door. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to say, lawla al-jihad wal-hajj وَبِرُّ أُمِّي لَأَحْبَبْتُ وَنْ أَمُوتَ وَأَنَا مَمْلُوكَ. He mentioned this hadith of the fada'il and virtues of a slave, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نِعِمَّ لِلْعَبْدِ الصَّالِحِ أَحْسَنَ عِبَادَةَ رَبِّهِ وَأَطَاعَ صَاحِبَهُ. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is a very good condition is of that slave who is dutiful to his master and who is obedient and who worships his Lord Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. He will get double reward for his worship. Meaning he is standing in the saf of salah with his master. The master is getting single reward and the slave is getting double reward. Because he is worshipping Allah and at the same time he is dutiful to his master as well. So he said, if it not, was not for these three things, one of them is the khidmat of my mother, then I would have loved to die as a slave. Because of the fadail and virtues which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned for a good slave. So in there he said, birru ummi. He was very dutiful to his mother. Zubayr ibn Hisham, he was very dutiful to his father. Some they all lived in the same property. Sometimes in the hot weather in the summer, he would go on the upper level for rest. And his servant would bring some chilled drink for him. He would take a sip and when he would feel that, oh, this is very nice and chilled and cold. And there was no freezer in those days. But when he would feel that this is nice, he would say, no, I'm not going to drink it. Take it for my father. Give it to my father, he will drink. And he would send that chilled drink for his father. He would not take it for himself. And others, Haywah ibn Shuraih, a great muhaddith, he would be sitting among his students and teaching the students. Suddenly his old mother would come and she would say, Qum ya Haywah, alqi sha'ira lid-dajaj. Oh Haywah, stand up. And you see the chickens, they need feeding, go and throw, give the seeds and the grains to the, feed the chickens. And he would get up and go and feed the chickens and then come back and start teaching his hadith again. Duty to the parents, listening to whatever they say. Harisa ibn Nu'man, a young man, he went into the battle of Badr. And he was taking care of something, suddenly a stray arrow came, pierced his body and killed him. He was a shaheed. He was very dutiful to his mother. So at this moment of time, when this incident happened, his mother was of course grieved. She came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day and she said, Ya Rasulullah, can you tell me something about my son Harisa, where he is? If he is Jannah, I will be patient. If he is in Jannah, I will be patient. But if he is somewhere else, then I will lament upon his death in such a manner that the whole Medina will talk about it. Nawha, matam. I will cry and wail and scream and shriek and people will talk about my nawha and matam and my lamenting. This is in the earlier days. Masail have not yet established. See, she didn't know that this nawha matam is haram. So she thought that if my son is in Jannah, I will be patient. But if he is not in Jannah somewhere else, then I will cry over him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya hazihi awa hubilti awa jannatun wahidatun hiya innaha la jinanun wa inna ibnaki asaba al firdaus al a'la. Oh dear one, is something wrong with your mind? Do you think that Jannah is only a small apartment where there will be a lot of rush and people won't find any space in there? Oh, there are, Jannah is vast, there are huge, in Jannah there are many Jannahs. And your son was blessed with Al-Firdausul A'la, the highest, loftiest Jannah Al-Firdaus was given to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one night, he gets up and he says, I just saw a dream. I saw a dream that I was in Jannah. And I heard the voice of someone reciting the Quran in a beautiful voice. And I approached and I asked, who is this young man? And I was told, this is Harisa ibn Nu'man. And then he said, oh, Harisa ibn Nu'man, kana barran bi ummihi, kadhaka albirru, kadhaka albirru, kadhaka albirru. That he was extremely dutiful to his mother. And this is the reward of his dutifulness and his birrul walidain. The way he used to serve his mother and take care of her. That is what took him to that stage. Sayyiduna Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, a great prophet of Allah. He once asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "O Allah, who is going to be my companion and friend in Jannah?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "So and so person who lives at so and so place in so and so small house." So Musa alayhi salam goes to that place, to his house, inquires, he goes, and he says, "Can I stay with you for a day or two?" I said, "Okay, no problem." Then Musa alayhi salam, stays with him as a guest. Musa alayhi salam notices that he's not doing any extra nawafil, extra ibadat, lots of worship, asbi, zikar, fikar, jiran, nothing like that. He's just a normal person. He's a shepherd. He goes out in the morning, takes his sheep for grazing. In the evening he comes back, and then he milks the goats and the sheep. And then when he has prepared the food and the milk and everything, he goes into one small room and gets out this old lady, carries her, brings her, who happens to be his mother. And then he washes her face, washes her lips, mouth, cleans her, and then he feeds her with his own hands, with his own spoon. He feeds her the milk, and then cleans her mouth, face, and she is feeling good. When this feeding is finished, the old lady starts murmuring something. And Musa alayhi salam goes closer and listens to what she's saying. And she's making the dua, "Oh Allah, my son is so nice, he's treating me so well. Oh Allah, give him the company of Musa alayhi salam in Jannah." Musa alayhi salam said, "Oh, this is the dua of his mother, which has made him my friend and my companion in Jannah." This is the value of the dua of the mother. We have forgotten that value. We don't know who our mother is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Al-jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat." Jannat lies beneath the feet of your mother. Do her khidmat and Jannat is yours. Some time ago, in Manchester, one young man, 22 years old, prayed his Asr Salah, and then, it was summertime, he went to play football on Friday night with his friends, and they prayed Maghrib Salah over at the ground, and then they started the game. He was a goalkeeper. While they were playing, barely 10 minutes had passed and suddenly collapsed. One of his friends knew first aid, so he rushed, tried to resuscitate him, but to no avail, called for an ambulance, and they took him. On the way, the young man, healthy young man, 22 years old, he'd never been to the doctor, he had no problems with his health, never any headache, fever, nothing, healthy young man, suddenly collapsed and finished. Expired. Everybody was shocked. He was the brother of one of our graduates, Maulana Liaqat Ali. His name was, I think, Riyasat Ali or something, whatever. So we went to his house. You know, I went to the janazah, and then the next day I took my mother and my wife, for taziyat of his mother. Now his mother is extremely patient. She's not showing any of her grief. People are attempting to make her cry. We don't know how to do taziyat today. We say such words which make, the other person cry. "Oh, what happened? How did this happen? It is an accident. He shouldn't have crossed the road. And why did he go over there? He shouldn't have gone to play." These types of words. You shouldn't say these words. You should say words of tasalli, consolation. "Don't worry. Be patient. You are, fortunate. You are praying for him. You are there to make dua for him. You will make istighfar for him. Inshallah, Allah will elevate and raise his rank." These are the words to be said. So, but his mother is extremely patient. And she's not crying and lamenting. She's happy with the taqdeer and fate and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was my youngest child. I loved him so much. And then she said that whenever I would be tired, because she had other kids as well, she had to make cook food and do all the housework, and she was old, not very young. So she said, "Sometimes I would be really tired, my feet would be aching. So one of my sons would come and start to press my feet and my shin, my legs. I wouldn't find get that rahat and sukoon until I would call Riyasatan. Riyasatali, and then he would come and start pressing my feet. And you know, all the pain in my legs would go away and I would feel really good. Then I would be relaxed. So even in pressing the feet, there is that love, muhabbat, which takes effect. So he had great love for his mother, and his mother had great love for him. Short life, he was a healthy young man, proper shari'i beard, 5 times salat, never missed his salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a short life with after namaz, and in this manner he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mother is there to pray for him, Allah is elevating his ranks. So we say to our kids when we mention this hadith in the assembly that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Al-Jannatu tahta akhdamil ummahat. So today when you go home, you should tell your mother to sit down and press her legs. Because there is Jannat there, so you have to do her khidmah and serve. Will you do that, inshallah? Do it. Inshallah, there is barakat in there. Your mother will be happy with you. Allah will give you Jannat. Rasulullah is saying. He also said, with regards to father, he said, Al-Walid awsatu abwaabil Jannah. Fa'in shi'ta fa'adhi' dhalika al-baab aw ihfadhu. Father is the best gateway to Jannah. You can either protect and safeguard that gate, or you can abandon and neglect it and go somewhere else if you want. That is the best, awsat, the ma'ana afzal, the best gate to Jannah. Take care of your father, look after him, especially in his old age. He will bring Jannah for you. He said, رِضَ الرَّفْ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ وَسُخْتُ الرَّبْ فِي سُخْتِ الْوَالِدِ. The pleasure of the Lord is in the pleasure of the father. And the anger of the Lord is in the anger of the father. Don't make him angry. Always try and make him happy. Please him. The Sahaba used to say, if a person looks at his father in an angry manner with his eyes popping out, then this is also regarded as uququl walidain. Ibn al-Awn was once called by his mother, Abdullah ibn Aun, Abdullah, come here. And he said, yes, mom, I'm coming. Then he realized, oh, my voice was much higher and raised than my mother's voice. I shouldn't have said that loudly. He immediately realized, he went to the mother, then he did istighfar. And he said, how can I atone this sin of mine of raising my voice in front of the mother? And then he had 2 slaves, and he freed those 2 slaves to as kafara, an atonement for this sin which he had committed. There were others, Muhammad ibn Sirin, who in his mother's presence would always be lowering his head. He would never look up. And sometimes his mother would scold him and scream at him, but he would still be lowering his head and looking and listening. Mansur ibn Ammar, a great muhaddith, once his old mother called him and he said, oh Mansur, Ibn Hubayra is telling you to become the judge. Why are you not listening to him? And the narrator says, Mansur is lowering his head with his beard in his chest, and he is just listening to his mother. And his mother is going on and on and on, and he is not saying a single word in front of her. And she said whatever she wanted to say. So this is how they used to behave with their parents. We should take lessons from them. On the other side, that is the uquq, hurting, abusing, ill-treating the parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has regarded abusing and ill-treating the parents as a major sin. He said, al-kaba'il, al-ishraqu billah, among the major sins is shirk. Associating anything, partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ الْمُسْلِمَيْنِ, and hurting Muslim parents. In other words, in one hadith used al-Muslimain, in other words, there is no al-Muslimain, just عُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, abusing the parents. I'm saying this because even if the parents are non-Muslims, you should be kind to them. The Quran said, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If your parents were to force you to do shirk, then in that shirk don't follow them. However, treat them in this dunya with kindness. Asma bint Abi Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anha says, her mother Qutayla traveled from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara to meet Asma. And when she arrived, Asma was scared that, oh, you know, she is still a mushrika. She has not embraced Islam, so how should I treat her? So she, welcomed her, let her sit in the house. Then she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she asked, Ya Rasulullah, my mother is a mushrika, she's come to my house. Should I treat her with kindness? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, of course, na'am, sili ummaki. Of course, she deserves your respect. Be kind to her, be nice to her. In Bolton, this young girl, 22 years, embraced Islam. In our Zakaria Masjid, she came to take the Shahada. So, I said, okay, tomorrow, 5 o'clock, there is a time, in the girls' class, my wife will be there, and inshallah you can declare Shahada. I went with a few committee members, we sat there, and she, when I went there, you know, she didn't have any headgear to cover her head. So I said to one of the girls, you know, get a headgear from small girl. She has to cover her head first, then she can take Shahada. So they brought a scarf, covered the head. And then I explained Deen Islam to her. She said, yes, I have studied. I know, I have full confidence. Islam is the right religion for me. And then she declared Shahada. And then when she goes back, what happens is she can't reveal the secret to her parents. Slowly, she tells them. And in the beginning, they are furious. She can't wear us. She said to my wife that, you know, the first thing Maulana Sahab told me was to cover my head. So that shows that covering the head is very important in Islam. So I'm going to start wearing scarf now. So she starts wearing scarf. But her parents doesn't like it. So what she does is, she hides the scarf in her purse. And when she gets out of the house in the car, driving, she goes ahead, parks somewhere, and then puts her scarf on, and then moves forward. When she comes back, before she goes to the street, she stops her car, takes the scarf off, and then puts it in the handbag, then quickly goes in the house. And she was having great problems. So she asked my wife, you know, what should I do? I don't know what to do. So I was also thinking, and I was sitting in Darulum with Maulana Abdul Ghafur Sahib's father, Hafiz Ahmad Sahib. And I said, Hafsab, you know, this girl has embraced Islam and she's going through a hard time. So, you know, what advice can you give to her? And Hafiz Sahib said, tell her to treat her parents with extreme kindness. You know, sweep the house, wash the dishes, cook the food, wash the clothes, iron the clothes for them. And, you know, do as much khidmat as she can. And then when her parents ask that, where did you learn all this from? Then she should say, my religion, Islam, tells me to be dutiful to the parents. So this was very nice advice, and I gave her the advice. And my ustad, Hafiz Ahmad Sahib, has mentioned this. And she started practicing on that. And within a few days, she won over her parents. And they were nice to her. And then she got married to a Muslim young man from our Asian area. And mashallah, today she is in proper full hijab and she has 3 children. So parent, being dutiful to the parents, you can win over them. Now the parents love her, she goes, takes her children, they have their nana, play around with them, happy, good, enjoying their life. Alhamdulillah. So you have to be dutiful to your parents, whether they are Muslim or they are non-Muslim. That is what Quran is teaching us. If you hurt them, the first wa'id is that uququl walidain is a major sin. Never hurt your parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith said, "La ta'uqqanna walidayk wa in amaraka an takhruj min ahlika wa malik." In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu dhunub yaghfiru Allah minha ma yasha illa uquqal walidain fa innahu yu'ajjalu li sahibihi fil hayati qabla al mamat." Every sin Allah forgives and forgives and forgives whatever He wishes. Allah is very forgiving. He is Al-Ghafoor. He is Al-Rahim. And He forgives and forgives and forgives. Except for Uququl Walidain. Because that is the sin that the person who hurts his parents will be repaid in this dunya before his death. فَإِنَّهُ يُعَجَّلُ لِصَاحِبِهِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ قَبْلَ الْمَمَاتِ. May Allah protect us from hurting our parents. Give us the tawfiq to take care of them. I was reading Kitab al-Birri wa-Sila of Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi. He mentions some stories of Uquq al-Walidain. He says in there was this girl named Riqash. In the previous eras, she was sent a proposal by someone, but the father thought that this proposal is not good for her. But however, she fell in love with that person. And things went further to the extent that she poisoned her father's food, and after a few days the father is lying on the deathbed. And he said, Riqash, I brought you up with so much love. You were my only daughter. I took good care of you. I spent all my wealth upon you. And you treat me in this manner. You poison me just for the love of someone. You will have to face the consequences of what you have done to me. And he died. She got married. After a few days, her husband started beating her up. And someone said, Oh Riqash, you are being beaten up. And she said, I deserve it for what I did to my father. After a few days, he got married to someone else. And another complaint, and she said, I deserve it. Whatever happens to me, I deserve, because what I did to my father. Ibn al-Jawzi narrates from Siyar al-Ajam that in the Persian era, there was this king named Uraj Shair. And Uraj Shair took his army and surrounded an area called Suwayriyana. And there was the huge, massive fort, and the city was surrounded by that fort. It was impossible to conquer that fort. So they surrounded it for a good few days. They could not find any way to go get in. So one day, the daughter of Uraj Shair, she was on the walls of the fort, and her gaze fell on the daughter of the king of that town, of that city, the Malik. His daughter was on that wall, and she looked at the army of Uraj Shair, and Uraj Shair was there, I know, bare chested, and he was looking young and handsome. And as soon as she looked at him, she fell in love with him. She went down and brought an arrow and wrote a note on there that if you promise to marry me, then I will tell you the short route, or the way into this fort. There is some way in. I will tell you, guide you to that. And she threw that sword towards Urachi. He looked at the sword, and he sent in another sword, and he said, Lakil wafa'u bima sa'altini. I will fulfill your request. And then she drew a plan, go to this side, from this door, from here, an easy entry into the fort. And she threw it back. And in the according to that plan, the next night when people were sleeping, the army entered through there, and they caused the chaos within the fort, killed everyone, great bloodshed, and killed the king as well. And then Uraj Shair got married to the girl, who was extremely pretty, handsome. After a few days, one night, they were sleeping, and suddenly the girl had a restless night. She couldn't sleep. And when they looked, the reason was there was a piece of wood sticking out inside the bed, and that's what deserted her sleep. So he looked at that soft skin and the body, and that she is being brought up in such a nice and pleasant manner, that you know, even this small bit which the Urad Sher did not notice, but she noticed and she couldn't sleep. So he was amazed. He said, you know, what did your father used to feed you? And she said, he always used to feed me honey, cream, milk, and bheja, mukh, and best meat. Bheja is very tender and very nice when it's cooked with masala. So he used to feed me with these. So Urad Sher looked at her and he said, your father fed you and he treated you so well, and still you betrayed him. How are you going to treat me if something happens? I'm no longer going to stay with you. And then he ordered for a horse to be brought, swift running horse, and he had her hair tied to that horse, and she was dragged right around the mountains upon the rocks until her body was torn to pieces. So Ibn al-Jawzi says, this is the punishment, saza of the uquq, which she received in this dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, illa uquq al-walidain, fa'innahu yu'ajjalu lahu fil hayati qabl al-mamat. There are not even uquq in this manner, abusing and killing the parents. Ibn al-Jawzi mentions some other stories as well. He narrates about this pious person who was on a journey and he approached this town or a village. And the graveyard is normally outside the town. So he saw that in the graveyard, from one of the graves, someone's head just came out, and the head was of a donkey, and the body was of a human being. And that person who had come out of the grave, or just stuck his head out of the grave, brayed like a donkey three times, haunchy, 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 and then went back inside the grave. So he didn't know what happened. He went in the town and asked the people that, you know, this is amazing, what happened, you know? I don't understand. It was before Maghrib time, between Asr and before Maghrib. So he was somewhat scared as well. So he said, what is this, you know, when the darkness is coming, this happened. And the people said, this happens every day, we have become used to it. The reason is, there was this young man in our town, and he used to drink. And he would come into that state of nasha, intoxication. And then he would do stupid things. He would swear, abuse, break things, because he would not be on in his own sense. His mother would try to stop him from drinking, but he wouldn't listen. And many a times, you know, she would scold him that, what type of a person are you? You know, you keep drinking and you're doing this and all this. He was from a wealthy family, so he didn't care. And whenever his mother would scold him, he would say, ye kya gadhe ki tarah chikhti rehti hai, jaane yahan se, go away from here, what are you braying like a donkey, gadhe ki tarah bol bol karti rehti hai. And he would say this all the time. So one day something happened, and his mother was, you know, rebuking him, and he sort of got a knife and he wanted to kill his mother. But as he approached his mother, before he could kill her, something happened to him. And he himself fell. And because he was in that state, he himself died. What is this? Heart attack, heart fail, anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Allah who can take any person's soul without any reason, he can take with reason as well. Heart attack, these are normal causes, but it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he himself died. And ever since we have buried him, every day, we see since the last few days since we've buried him, he comes out of that grave, breaks like a donkey, and then goes back inside the grave. This is the punishment of uququl walidain. May Allah save us from hurting and abusing the parents. Respected brothers, elders, ladies listening at home, this is type of state is happening within our society. People are doing this, swearing at parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, la'ana Allahu man la'ana walidayhi. Allah curses that person who curses his parents. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, don't swear at your parents. And the Sahabas asked, ya Rasulullah, can a person swear at his parents? And you know, they couldn't imagine a person swearing at his father or at his mother. This has become the norm for our society today. And the Sahabas, they couldn't understand how a person can swear at his father or at his mother. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, وَكَيْفَ يَسُبُّ الرَّجُلُ وَالِدَيْهِ? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned another manner. He said, يَسُبُّ أَبَى الرَّجُلُ فَيَسُبُّ أَبَاهُ وَيَسُبُّ أُمَّهُ فَيَسُبُّ أُمَّهُ. He swears at someone's father, and that person swears at his father. He swears at someone's mother, and that person swears at his mother. So it's as though he has sweared at his father and his mother. This is also swearing at your own parents. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anybody who swears at his mother or his father is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this swearing is taking place in our homes and houses. Hurting, slapping the mother, slapping the father. These things take place. We hear of stories of this kind, that so and so person beat his father or punched him, slapped him for something which happened and said, who are you to tell me this? I'm not going to listen to you. Now these types of incidents are haram. This is uquq, hurting their feelings, hurting them, abusing them. When they reach the old age, we hear that people get fed up with them and throw them out of the houses. Go to the old people's home, the nurse will take care of you, look at you, look after you. But who are you? Why can you not take care of your father? Why can't you take care of your mother? We have heard of cases in one place, this mother who was from our Asian area, and they had only one son. They sold their land and sent him to the university, made him a doctor. When he graduated, he found a job in one of the foreign countries, and he goes there. Over there, his father passes away, his mother is alone. So he calls his mother. Now over here he is married with his wife, and then his mother comes. Now after a few days, the wife says that, you know, I hate your mother, I don't like her. Send her out of the house, send her to the old homes. So he said, okay. So he says to the mother, mother, you have to go to the old home. And she says, well, I don't even know English. How am I going to communicate with the nurses? Please don't do that. I don't do anything. I just sit in one corner of the house in my room. I never even, you know, ask your wife to do something for me. I do all my things myself. I just stay. Why are you kicking me out? He said, no, my wife said, so you have to go. So she pleaded. She went to the Imam Sahib, please explain to my son. Don't do this. But he wouldn't listen. He made all preparations, took her luggage and put her in the home. Within 2 weeks, the old lady passed away. Now, the guna of this kicking the mother out is on his shoulders. He will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. So this is the way people are treating the parents, happening within the society. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali writes, that in the USA, this person who is a, you know, doctor working in a hospital somewhere, he gets a phone call, and that a body was brought over here of a dead person, and we have inquired, you are the next of kin, and this person happens to be your father. Can you please come and take his body and do the burial, janaza, whatever you have to do? And the person replies, oh, I am very busy over here. You just do all his janaza and everything and send me the bill. We heard of this story of this old lady who died in the house. And it was Saturday. And the son and his wife, they were both going to their shop for business. Now, the mother dies. So they say that, you know, if we tell people now, then, you know, we won't be able to open our shop. And our today's Saturday's taking is very high. We will miss the taking. So we have to go. So what do we do? They said that we will hide mother's body in one corner. When we come in the afternoon, then we will tell people. So they go. They work all day in the shop. And in the evening when they come back, that means, oh, my mother has died. And then they phone everyone and call everyone. By that time, the body is rotten and it's smelling. And the worker in the home, she tells people that the mother had died in the morning and they did this to the mother. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali writes that this person died in the USA and people buried him. After 2-3 days, his son comes to the qabr, grave of the father, and urinates on the grave. And he says, you were a very bad father and you did this to me and that to me. This is how I'm going to repay you. This is what's happening within the society, my dear brothers. Open your eyes, realize what's going on. This is among the signs of Qiyamah. In Hadith Jibreel, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, "What is sa'a? When is the Qiyamah going to come?" And he replied, "Mal mas'ulu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il." I don't know when it's come. Exact time, Allah knows. So Jibreel alayhi salam said, "Fa'akhbirni an amaratiha." Tell me some signs. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An talida al-amatu rabbataha." The first sign he mentioned was huququl walidain. Children will be undutiful to their parents. They will be abusive and they will hurt the feelings of their parents. This is among the signs of Qiyamah. Today, we hear of disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, landslides, hurricanes, typhoons, and epidemics, diseases, flus, and that there was swine flu, and this disease, that disease. Why is it gone? Suddenly, why has it, escalated so much? Within the last 10 years, you see earthquake in 2001, earthquake in 2000, somewhere. I have a list of here. We gave one bayan on our website the other day. So in 2001, there was the Gujarat earthquake in India in which 20,000 people died. 2003, the Iranian earthquake in which 43,000 people died. 2004, the Asian tsunami in which nearly 275,000 people died. In 2005, the Pakistan earthquake in which 75,000 people died. In 2008, the Burma cyclone in which 146,000 people died. Then the Chinese earthquake in which 70,000 people died. And in 2010, the Haiti earthquake in which 316,000 people died. And then the Chile earthquake, the floods in Pakistan, the Yushu earthquake. And then in 2011, the Tohoku earthquake some time ago in which 10,200 people died. And now the Japanese earthquake, I don't know, 20, 30,000, how many people have disappeared, Allah knows best. Within the last 10 years, this is only of those earthquakes and tsunamis, not of other natural disasters as they say. Why are all these things happening in quick succession? Why the society has become such that, it's having an immediate effect upon us. The apparent causes we see are maybe the movement of the earth, the epicenter, the tsunami, something happening in the ocean. But why did these things not used to happen 50 years, 100 years ago in so quick successions? Maybe we hear of Tufan and Nuh, alayhi salam, and maybe Qawmi Aad and these types. But recently there's nothing been like this, 1500 years ago. Why now? What is the reason? That one is the apparent cause, and then there is the hidden cause, invisible cause which we can't see. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger. He will tell us what is the cause of these incidents. Let me give you an example. We get heat waves. And then sometimes we get severe winters. Like we just had one in December. What is the cause for that? Well, this Siberian weather and this weather causes the freeze and the snow and this. This is what we can see. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks further ahead and he tells us there is another cause for that. And he said that ishtakatin naru ila rabbiha rabbi akala ba'di ba'dan fa adina laha bi nafasayn nafasin fi shita wa nafasin fi sayf. That the fire of Jahannam and the zamhareen of Jahannam said to Allah that, "Oh Allah, part of me is eating the other part of myself." So Allah said, "Okay, you can take two breaths." So the breath, the severe intensity of the heat which you feel in summer is the Jahannam taking its breath. And the severe cold weather which you feel in the winter is the zamhareen taking its breath. So the invisible cause which we can't see, Allah's Rasul sees it. Similar case over here as well. That we see some causes, other causes which we can't see. Rasulullah will tell us, إِذَا اتُّخِذَ الْفَيْءُ دِبَلًا وَالْأَمَانَةُ مَغْنَمًا وَالزَّكَاةُ مَغْرَمًا وَتُعُلِّمَ لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ وَأَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ امْرَأَتَهُ وَعَقَّ أُمَّهُ وَأَدْنَى صَدِيقَهُ وَأَخْصَى أَبَاهُ وأكرم الرجل مخافة شره وظهرت الأصوات في المساجد وظهرت القينات والمعازف وشربت الخمور ولعن آخر هذه الأمة أولها فارتقبوا عند ذلك ريحا حمراء وزلزلة وخصفا ومسخا وقذفا وآيات تتابعوا كنظام قطع سلكه فتتابع. رواه الترمذي وابن ماجه. When these 14 things happen, when people are taking the charity money as their own and taking it for themselves, When people are taking zakat as penalty and fine, why should I pay zakat? It's a penalty, I'm not going to pay it. People fail to pay zakat. And people says the knowledge of other than deen, knowledge of dunya is preferred over the knowledge of deen. People go after ilme dunya and pay no attention to ilme deen. And when a person obeys his wife and abuses his mother, when a person brings closer his friend and distances away his father, and when a person is respected just because people are scared of him, not because of any respect in the heart. And وَسَادَ الْقَبِيلَةَ فَاسِقُهُمْ وَكَانَ زَعِيمَ الْقَوْمِ أَرْضَلُهُمْ. The leader of a community is the person who is most biggest fasiq among them. And the leader of a whole area is the most lowly person among them. And وَظَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. When shouting, screaming, noise begins in the masajid, there people have no respect for the masjid. No silence in the masjid. And dunyavi talks, worldly talks inside the masajid. And وَظَهَرَتِ الْقَيْنَاتُ وَالْمَعَازِفِ. Pop stars and singers and musics and instruments are widespread, and they are being heard all over the places, in the homes, on the streets, on the areas, in markets. And these songs become rampant within the society. وَشُرِبَتِ الْخُمُورِ. And sharab and intoxicants are taken, drugs included in there. People fall for this and the society becomes like this. وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا. And the latter of this ummah curse the first generations of this ummah. Then when these 14 things happen, then wait for rihan hamra, red storms, dangerous storms, wazalzalatan, earthquakes, wakhasfan, people being swallowed by the earth, wamaskhan, faces being disfigured, wakazfan, and hailstones and stones raining from the skies, waayatin tatabahu, and signs like this which will come in quick succession. كَنِظَامٍ قُطِعَ سِلْكُهُ فَتَتَابَعَ. Just as a necklace, if you cut off the thread, then the beads will fall one after the other in quick succession. So similarly, these ayat will appear. This is Allah's Rasul. He is looking that this is the cause for these things. So, my dear brothers, finishing off, parents, we should be extremely dutiful to our parents, never hurt them, never abuse them. Take our lessons from Quran, from Hadith. May Allah Pa give us the tawfiq to practice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ya arhamar rahimin. Mahaz apne fazl o karam se hum sab ki maghfirat farma. Hamare yahan uthna baithna kehna sunna qabool farma. Puri ummat par raham farma. Puri ummat ke liye khair ke faisle farma. Hamare jawanon ko apne maa baap ka adab aur respect karne ki tawfiq naseeb farma. Beadbi se hifazat farma. Maa baap ko satane se hifazat فرما. ماں باپ کی خدمت کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اللہ پوری امت پر رحم فرما, پوری انسانیت پر رحم فرما, مسلمانوں پر بھی رحم فرما اور غیر مسلموں پر بھی رحم فرما. ان کے لیے ہدایت کے دروازے کھول دے, صحیح رستوں پر آنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اس مسجد کی خدمات قبول فرما. جو حضرات اس پروگرام میں آئے ہیں سب کے آنے کو قبول فرما, سب کو جزائے خیر نصیب فرما. جنہوں نے اس پروگرام کے لیے محنتیں کی ان سب کو بھی جزائے خیر نصیب فرما. جنہوں نے کھانے پینے کھلانے پلانے کی محنت کی ان کو بھی جزائے خیر نصیب فرما. جو امہ حضرات ہیں ان کی خدمات کو بھی قبول فرما, انتظامیہ کی خدمت کو بھی قبول فرما. اس مسجد کو پورے علاقے والوں کے لیے رشد اور ہدایت اور خیر اور برکت کا مرکز بنا اور یہاں سے ہدایت کے پھیلنے کے فیصلے فرما. ہماری ٹوٹی پھوٹی دعائیں قبول فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم, وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم, وصلی اللہم وسلم علی سیدنا محمد والی وصحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.